It's not maybe good to do it now, and that way we don't have to deal with. And then if one of you would go around and get an attendance count, and then include the auditorium class as well. Ruthann simply does that, and with Pat gone, she's down in St. Mary's visiting with our daughter and singing and playing for her at their church, and so can't just have her do it, which usually would be the case. All right, now we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3. If you would like to turn to it, I'll be preaching on this verse, but what we'll do is read the verse to introduce the message. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. And Melinda, thank you for being here and playing. She and Tiffany are twins, okay, in their health condition. Now, you can decide who's going which way here, but but they both have a cold. Tiffany wanted to share with her mother, and so... all right, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Father in heaven, I pray that you would indeed lead us in this class time, that we may learn what is needed for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be looking at this phrase, that I may know him. I'm going to teach this lesson until a quarter of 11, and then we'll stop, and I will pick it up in the 1 o'clock service, okay? So we may seemingly be left hanging in the middle, but I'll be completing it at the 1 o'clock service. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. Let me get that, and we'll put it in my pocket. Let's forget. Okay, did you get, she's getting the count. She's getting the count, I assume. And we got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17, 18, 19. 19 here. All right, thank you very much, ladies. Is it possible to know God? Can we directly and clearly know God? Now, we would be prone to answer that yes, because of what we know from the Bible. But outside of Christ and the Bible, the answer is no. Creation and the conscience bear witness to his existence, but his eternal saving grace can only be experienced through Christ and the scriptures. Now, as I said, we being church people, we know that. So when the question's asked, is it possible to know God? We'd answer yes. But neither philosophy, science, nor non-biblical religions reveal the personal character and grace of God. The most any of them can say, whether it's philosophy or science and non-biblical religions, the most any of them can say is, we seek God. None of them can say, we have found God. Now, I'm not sure if it has been viewed already or not, but there's a TV special that's coming up. It's a black actor, and I forget his name, but he's well known.
Morgan Freeman,
thank you. And he's doing a special on God. And the promotion of it is that though there's many differences, though there's many adamant views that may be held, the common things amongst all people is that they believe in God. Well, from the point that he's coming, it's accurate, okay? From the point he's coming, thank you. From the point that he is coming, what he's saying is so. We as Bible believers, thank you, Bryson. We as Bible believers would say that the God of whom he's speaking, being known by all, would be spelled with a small or lowercase g. Okay? The scriptures speak about people and their gods, and that they have gods. And so he's not incorrect in that sense. He obviously is not going to be revealing God Jehovah of the Bible. He may use that name Jehovah, no doubt. But as far as revealing a biblical view and understanding of God, I would not expect him to do that. Because in order to do that, an individual needs to have the Spirit in him to reveal those things to him. See if I can find the right scripture on that. My memory is unbelievable. that it doesn't exist. Yeah, I knew this was going to happen. It's the commonly referred to scripture that obviously I'm not referring to. But anyway, it's the scripture. Maybe somebody will think of it. It's the scripture that says that we cannot know him, that he is revealed to us by, it's in Corinthians, one of the Corinthians, revealed to us by God. And if we do not have him revealed to us in that sense, we are not able to know him. Boy, that verse is just right there, but it won't pop up. It amazes me, the memory and grasp of the scriptures that our pastor has. I mean, you know, a few times he has asked for that. Yes, Sam.
1 Corinthians 2:10.
I hope so. Let me look at it.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, deep things of God.
Yes. Starts in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And then verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so someone like Morgan Freeman may be very sincere, okay? And when it comes to a program, even though he's but an actor, I believe that he would have to have some kind of identification with the subject, some kind of an interest in it, in order to do what he's doing. But the point that I'm making is whatever the sincerity level is, okay, that cannot do what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and begins at verse 10, and verse 14 is the one I was looking for. The natural man, the unsaved man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And so when you and I talk, they would consider the things that we talk about as foolishness. As a matter of fact, I read an article today. I was going to bring it along, and then I decided not to because I didn't think I'd have the time to go into it, and now I'm going into it anyway, but don't have the article. beautiful. It was, I think, in June of 2014 that Pope Francis said, now I'm paraphrasing, but I have the article, that this idea of personally knowing God individually is not right. And he identifies evangelicals as those who teach that. he said that's what the church, and he would mean the Roman church, has been given to. And hence what we do is through the church we pray to Mary, he says, and then through Mary she intercedes for us. And so however broad-minded he may have appeared in some statements, he just revealed that he believes and teaches the main line historic Catholic view. And your idea of personally knowing God and individually outside of the Roman Church being saved doesn't happen. He says that begins with baptism and the catechism and what one receives through the church. sometime when I'm teaching or preaching, I'll bring that along so I can read specifically from it. And so the question is, can we actually know God? We, because of our Bible understanding, we answer yes. but it can only be known, God can only be known through Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now the positive is implied. We can come to the Father through Jesus Christ. Now there's four ways of knowing a person. Four ways that I can know Chris, that I can know John, or you can know any individual. One is historically, by records that have been preserved through time. It's in that way that we would know Moses, David, or Samuel. We can know Julius Caesar, Napoleon, or George Washington through documents that have been written by them or about them. And so historically, we can know an individual. The second way we can know a person is contemporaneously. In other words, presently living while we live. And we can know about them through information about them that's given. So, for example, the President of the United States, whoever that may be, current or previous ones. We can know about them. Other political leaders, men in Congress, sports figures. Okay, we can know them contemporaneously. And so you've got key figures whom I'm not going to name any because I'm not into sports and therefore I'm liable to name somebody who's not with it anymore, okay? And I'll just show my ignorance. And so I'll just admit it up front. But you can know a sports figure contemporaneously, but you know about them, okay, through information. And, you know, in our day that would be through the media, whether it's TV or radio or some print media. And then thirdly, we can know a person by contact and a closer relationship than knowing about them is a relationship that we have by contact with the person. This is how I could know Chris or John, or you can know another person by contact. And this is what I'm going to say is a casual, a social or business life kind of contact. You know, at a store you may exchange the time of day. Now, here last week, Mrs. Hain and I, or 2 weeks ago I guess it is now, we stopped at the Giant grocery store and we did some shopping and we saw Tiffany there. And I was glad she was working when we were there. It was neat to see her there. But there's people who know Tiffany in this contact manner. Okay? It's casual. As they would go through her checkout line and give her a greeting for the day, if they're a regular customer, okay, their contact would be more than, you know, an occasional customer. But we don't know the person really very much. We might know if they're married or single or where they live, okay, that sort of thing. And so, you know, in my knowledge of Chris and John, it would be in a contact manner. And it began at a casual level, okay? When we first came to the church, okay, we met them. We, you know, introduced ourselves because of having been a pastor. Our pastor, of course, introduced us, spoke of us, and that helped, you know, people to know about us. But the fourth way, and these are somewhat progressive, obviously, when it comes to historically, we're not knowing Chris and John historically, okay? And so, but their grandchildren will. Recently, I said to Pat, I said, you know, we need to sit down and we need to write out what we remember, naming our aunts and uncles, their partners, their children, where they lived. She would remember, regarding her side of the family, where they worked. Okay, we need to write that down, because I would like that information about my aunts and uncles, but don't have much of it. I've probably got about a 30%, 40% knowledge of my family. All I know regarding my father's side of the family is that my grandfather on that side was a real grumpy, mean old guy. Okay. And so I know that I'm Haney, okay? Because outside of the grace of God, I'd be a grumpy, mean old guy. That would be my natural inclination. You know, my family knows that, okay? And it's only the grace of God that keeps me to be the sweet, loving person I am. Thank you, those of you that caught the intended humor in that. But even though historically we know some, and contemporaneously, we know some others. Most of our information is with contact in a familiar way. We know them by name and nature, okay? As I've been here, I've learned some things about Chris, okay? Learned where he lives, learned where he works, you see? One of the, you know, learn just by observing him, his discipline of the children, okay, and to endeavor to keep them in order, okay, and though he may be firm and stern, no, not maybe, he is firm and stern, okay. Have you ever seen when he needs Rayanne, when he needs to rein her in, okay? But then you'll see a tender arm go around her. Or you'll see him, when she sits up close to him, take her head and put it to his shoulder, you see? Now, those are things in the casual contact when I first came here and just introduced myself and shook hands, okay? That's something that wasn't known. So what we know about people, the point I'm making, is that it progresses, okay? It progresses. And so in this familiar way, we may know them with frequent or continual contact, and we know their feelings, we know some of their disposition, some of their temperament, some of their habits. There's things like this we know. Now, the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. And Paul wanted to know Jesus Christ. Now, these different ways of knowing, that was involved with Paul and what he knew of Christ as well. And we should long to know him. It would be strange if we did not long to know him. I read a story, have it printed out here, about back in the days of slavery in our country, there was a particular Negro who was sold to the hardest slave owner who ever curled a whip. And he seemed to delight in whipping his slaves when they disobeyed. And if they did run away, as did this one, when he was gotten back, he was made an example of. And so in the morning, he was stripped naked, tied to a pole, and he was about to be whipped when a noble-looking gentleman called out, "Stop. You cannot whip that man. You will kill him." And the mean old slave owner, he looked at him and said, "He will be whipped unless you plan to take his punishment." And the finely dressed man said, "I will." And he was disrobed to his waist, tied to the pole, and he was beaten, and in a heroic manner took the beating until the last two lashes when he fell to the ground. And it wasn't too much longer that he was freed, the Negro, and he was told by the owner, "You're not mine anymore. That man took your punishment and he set you free, and so you may go." But that wasn't all of it. When he was leaving, he was intercepted by a messenger who gave him some clothing, some shoes, gave him some money, and told him, "There's enough money in the bank for you to take care of yourself." When he went to the bank and inquired who this benefactor was, it turned out that he was the son of a king. And the freed slave went about doing all that he could to find him so as to thank him and to live for him. He wanted to serve him. Well, obviously, you can see that the parable is exactly a description of Jesus Christ in us. And what was done in an earthly sense has been done in an eternal sense through Jesus Christ. And it is, when Paul said that I may know him, now he was already saved. Paul was. So he wasn't asking to know him in the sense of salvation. And how could we know someone who has already lived and died and gone to the life beyond? How can we develop a friendship with one that's been departed? My one grandfather, if he was indeed the mean man that family said he to be, I can't know him. I can't develop any kind of a relationship. So how can we know someone? How could Paul want to know someone who lived more than 2,000 years ago? Well, we can do that because of last week. What was last week? Easter. What is Easter? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ rose, he lives. Now, you may think to yourself, well, he lives, but the other people, like, you know, Paul and Peter and Matthew and Mark and Luke, they live too. My father who died, my grandfather who died on the other side of my family, they were Christians. And they're living in heaven. Ah, but Jesus Christ lives in a different way and a different manner than what they or you or I will live. You see, Jesus Christ lives, and it's one of the things I'm going to do at the 1 o'clock service. We're going to go down and talk about how he is alive now. He is alive bodily, regally, and we'll explain what that means. He's alive actively. Okay, so when we say he rose from the dead and he ascended and he lives, what's it mean? And that's what we're going to talk about. And he lives actively. He is alive ever abidingly. He is alive savingly. Okay, and we're going to look at each one of them and identify and describe how Jesus Christ is alive. Now, when you think about this, when Paul said that I may know him, the time frame is about 30 years after his conversion. The particular study Bible that I'm using today has some dates listed. The date as to when the letter Philippians that Paul wrote, in which he says that I may know him, was written, was about 64 AD. You go back into the book of Acts, and when you get back there, this dating system gives it as about 33, 34 AD when Paul was converted in that Damascus Road experience he had. So here it is, 30 years later, and the Apostle Paul has the request, has the desire that I may know him. Paul, we know the experiences he had. We know the abilities that he had. We know the knowledge that he had. But he says that I may know him. Now, you know what that means? That means those of us who have been saved however long. Now, I'm 72. I was saved when I was 15. You can do the math because I'm not good at math on my feet. Okay? And I'm 72. I was 15 when I got saved. Anybody figured out yet how many years that? 58 years? 57. Okay. All right. Yeah. She used her phone and you just used your head. And so, we could have fun with that, but I'm not going to do that. So, 57 years. If Paul, after 30 years, had to say, I need to know him, I want to know him more. We, however long we've been saved, okay, and you know, there's somebody here that may be able to, you know, say they're saved longer than that. Now, I'm saved that long, but that doesn't mean I was always living for the Lord. We don't read of any backslidden experiences of Paul, do we? Yet, if you were to record my life, there would be periods when I did not live for God, especially in earlier years. That I'm ashamed of that now, but it's a fact of the way life is. So what I'm saying is, well, just because we're saved long, we still need to be able to know him and know him more than what we do, and that's what we'll go into at the 1 o'clock service. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how much indeed, how we need, not just to learn in the sense of knowledge, though we want to do that, Father. But we want to know him in our heart and in our experience of living. We do not want a mere relationship that's good when we're in this building, but somehow is different when we're out in the everyday life and workaday world. God, we want to be able to know him. And so with the Apostle Paul, we pray that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. How thankful we are, dear Father, for that which we celebrated last week, but we know is not just an annual celebration, but it's a weekly one as we assemble ourselves to remember the risen Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you.